Lord, you are good, always. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but you're still good. Even at those circumstances that we find ourselves in day by day may not be ideal in our minds, they work together for our own good. And thank you for that. Thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for dying for us, Jesus, for taking away sin and giving us life. We're eternally grateful for that, and we will be, because we'll be together with you once this earth is no longer. And we look forward to that day. But in the meantime, help us to follow your will, to do what you want each of us to do individually and together as a church. Thank you, Lord, and we just ask you to anoint Heidi and bless her as she comes to teach, talking about our great shepherd, and just fill her with yourself, and may the words be powerful and change lives as she speaks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat.
So I haven't been here for 2 weeks. I was down in nursery when Chris spoke. And last weekend I was at a women's retreat that Summit was holding in Lymington. So finally, I was close to a conference that I didn't have to stay overnight. With my new house, I was right around the corner. Some of you have met my parents. They've been here. They were just here, Mom, Pa Kettle, sitting with me. Some of you have been praying. Let me see, I got my notes here. Praying for my mom. She had breast cancer 11 years ago, was diagnosed, and she has been, we thought, cancer-free. And she, when they were here in May to help me move, she went back and had a biopsy on a spot on her neck, well, not a spot, a lump, and found out, she had a PET scan and found out that the breast cancer came back and it's in 12 areas on her bones and in her lungs. So she is trying a new drug, and thankfully Pfizer is paying for that drug. It's $800 a pill. So she got into a program where Pfizer will pay for that, and she's also having infusions once a month. So that's been occurring since, let's see, my dad was telling me. So in June, all that started. In July 6, she had the PET scan, and she started that first pill, and she started the program with the first infusion June 18th. So they're doing PET scans every so often, every few months to see. So she just had a PET scan this about a week ago. And so I have to tell you the update, because she said make sure you tell the church, because she knows she's gotten to know quite a few of you over the time that they've been here. So between the lungs is a little sac, and there was a spot on there, and that spot is all gone completely. And a lot of the spots that were on her bones have shrunk or completely gone. So what the process that they're doing is actually working. Whether she's feeling better or not doesn't matter because between the medication and all this happening. But I wanted to let you know that some have shrunk more than half on her. So that's been a blessing. So she wanted to make sure you guys knew that the cancer cells have shrunken or completely gone on a lot of those areas on her bones. So thank you for praying. Keep praying, and I'll give you updates when I get them. But she's gotten to know a lot of you, so she just wanted to tell you guys. So I haven't been here, but I was able to listen to Chris and Brad, their teachings, and Brad spoke about how God is our rock. And so I have been, it's been on my heart to talk about Psalm 23, and I know you guys know it pretty well, but I believe I've actually lived Psalm 23 about 6 years ago or so. So I wanted to bring it to light a little bit more in depth than maybe you have known, and I want you to... When you're done, I want you, like I did with Hebrews 11, with your faith, I want to know if you can go later on, and I'll remind you the challenge at the end, to challenge you to find your Psalm 23 in your life. If you see up here, there's a picture of where they would keep sheep. But first, I'm going to, hold on here, read. We're going to go into Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're going to look at first, I'm going to bring you back to John 10, because in John 10, yep, that's the other side of the Bible, Heidi. So that was David speaking, and then you have John 10, Christ is speaking. And he is saying, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So I want to look at Christ as our shepherd personally, and what David is saying and what Christ says in John 10. And this here is a sheepfold. So sometimes one shepherd would have just his sheep, or multiple families would gather their sheep in there, either at night or at a time. And sometimes there was a gatekeeper who would stand at the entrance. Now, this one does not have a gate. Some have a gate. So that's what he's talking is about, the sheepfold. That's where the sheep were collected. So whoever tries to get in on a different way is not the shepherd. The shepherd would come in, and his sheep, only his sheep, even though there might be multiple sheep, multiple family sheep in there, his sheep would listen to him because they only know his voice. So I want to point that out as just be thinking of all those things that try to steal us from God's voice, from hearing him, and trying to creep in our sheepfold, in our home, in our life. How they try to creep in and steal our time and steal our attention from Christ's voice. Because there's a lot out there. There's a lot of things that try to steal our time and our voice. So, and he explains that Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the only way to his to him, to Christ, to God, our Father. And he's the only way to become a part of that sheepfold, a part of that family, a part of that kingdom, of his kingdom. And like lots of shepherds, shepherds have to protect their animals and protect their sheep, and that's their livelihood. So he builds a relationship with them, and he builds a rapport with them, and they know how he leads, and he will lay down his life for his sheep. That's his job, and that's his love. So the same thing with Christ. He already did that for us, but also he continues to put us first, and he continues to guide us and lead us. The Greek word the psalm comes from is psalmos, or the Hebrew is mizmar, which means song. So a lot of the times these psalms were sung at certain different festivals. It's not recorded at what festivals, but a lot of the times they would sing these. So I have no idea what tune this psalm would be in. You could even try it with a music group, putting it to a song that would be, to a tune that would be neat. David appears in 73 titles of the Psalms. Being the most common author, he was a skillful lyre player, and an accomplished songwriter, and had an active role in the worship of Israel, in Israel's worship. Psalms 23 is a song of confidence, which enabled the worshiper, even though David wrote it, it enabled him, but it enables other worshipers to develop their trust and deepen their trust in God. Shepherd means leader. It means protector, provider, caregiver. So when we label as God our shepherd, it means we are sheep. Sorry, they're not that very smart. They're not dependent. You know, they're very dependent on other people. They're not very independent. So in verses 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He knows what I need. I think I know what I need, and you think you know what you need, but he knows what we need, and he knows what we want, and he knows our desires. But he also knows what's ahead, because he's already planned it. So I'm going to show you a video that kind of describes the green pastures that they're talking about in the scripture here. And I know what I've had my eye of what my vision of what green pastures is. And I know you have a vision of what green pastures are. So these green pastures, I don't know if it will play, if you guys have to push play or I have to push play. Well, he's describing the green pastures. There's a picture there that it doesn't look green at all. And so, oh, well, there's a scene. that's okay. I don't know if she was able to get that in there or not. So if you see behind him, it looks pretty deserty. So they show a shepherd with some goats there. And what happens out there is that it does rain, and the moisture collects on the rocks, and these little tufts of green sticking out, these long pieces of grass that are like maybe 3-4 at a time of clumps throughout. And the shepherd will lead the sheep through there, and they eat those little tufts that are coming up. And it's just for that moment. Like he says, it's not a huge field of alfalfa. It's not a pasture like we're thinking, like a farm. You don't want to bring sheep close to farms because they're going to eat whatever they find there, and they'll eat anything. So his explanation is that when the shepherd takes them through and they eat these little tufts, it's for right now. It's for what's in front of them. They're going to continue, and they're going to follow, and they're going to eat whatever is in their path behind the shepherd. And he's going to lead them, and he leads them through these rows that are where it is all growing, because he knows, he can see ahead, and he can see where this is for them to eat. So he gives them what they need at the moment. They're not storing it for later. They're not storing it for tomorrow. They're not storing it for next week. They're eating what's in front of them right now, wherever he leads them, because they're going to eat whatever is in their path, and they're going to eat how much is in their path. So the point is he's giving them what they need for that moment. And the same thing with God, provides what we need for today. And sometimes our green pasture, what we picture, is having this and having that and doing this and doing that, and then I'll be all set and I'll have everything that I need. But sometimes we have to simplify and purge our thoughts and our things that we have and the desires that we have to what he is giving us. And that's very hard, and it's very humbling to say, I can't worry about tomorrow. I can't think and store this up for tomorrow, and I can't, store this up for next year. What I need to focus on is what I have today and what he's giving me today, and I have to be satisfied with that. The sheep aren't complaining. They're not going to say anything. They're going to eat what's in front of them, and they're going to eat wherever he shows them. So when we go in and we have our daily bread and we have our daily devotions and we have our time with God, we almost have to just ask him, just show me what I need today. And we have to shut off whatever's going on around us for that moment, whatever that is. God will take whatever time we give him. He wants to be with us all the time. So if we can give him 5 minutes now and an hour later on in the week or what have you, ask him to show you, what do I need to eat today? What do I need to chew on? What do I need to have in front of me? It might not be what I want. It might not be desirable. It might not taste good, but evidently I need it. And we're supposed to be thankful, whether good or bad, and that's hard. It's hard to say thank you for this hardship. It's hard to say thank you for this suffering. But I take it as we don't have to be thankful at the moment. We can just say, okay, this is what you have for me, and I'll be thankful for it later. Just show me what I need to do with it. So, you know, we are sheep, so we are going to eat whatever's in our path, and we just need to make sure that we're following our shepherd, what is in our path. A lot of things are going to jump into our path. A lot of things are going to try to take our time and our efforts and our money and our emotions. But he will meet our needs. And as I shared when I spoke before in the park, he does meet our needs. And in between, he gives us our desires. And those are blessings, and that shows his mercy and his grace that he has upon us, that he gives all the time. The needs, it says not in want, but I've looked it up, and the want is not our definition of want. The want is that our needs. He gives us, I shall not be in need of anything. He gives us everything we need. We might not think so, but he does. And the needs that he has met for me are spiritual, emotional. I've always had a job. I've always had finances. He's always taken care of everything that I could worry about. And he even goes beyond that. And the green pasture, it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down. He makes me go there. And the green pasture that I had was actually going to Lymington. I wasn't crazy about 45-minute drive to work every day. And I wasn't crazy about being out far from everything, and my world is mostly here in Westbrook, Portland area. But he made me go there. He made it circumstances be that I have to be so far away. And he brought me there, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and visually. I was visually away from all other things that brought up any other memories or places that I normally went, and he gave me that green pasture. He gave me an environment where it made me stop being in the life that I was in, and it made me focus on him more, and it made me reliant on him for everything, and it brought me closer to him, and I call it green pastures now because a year or so into being there, because it was temporary, God's temporary and my temporary are two different things. So when he throws something in your life and you say, oh, this is just temporary, just be careful, because my temporary was 3 years. And, you know, it just reminds me the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, so I'm thankful for my three. So that brings it down to reality there. So my green pasture was that. It was a place that was an environment that was spiritually fulfilling, emotionally, and it helped me financially. He took care of it all in that green pasture. And so when I was picturing green pasture in the biblical, in the Bible verse, that was not what I was thinking, because that is not green behind him. So everybody's green pasture is different. So just think what your green pasture has been. There could be many times that he's brought in you because he's a shepherd. We're not going to be going in one direction and that's it. We've already passed the green pasture. Now we're going to the valley. You know, just like I know, there's many valleys in our life. But sometimes I think we focus more on the valleys than we do the green pastures. And sometimes focusing on those green pastures while you're in the valley helps you get through that valley. And in that 45-minute ride, I was blessed to make sure my butt was in the car at 5:30 because I found a pastor on 105.9. And he always did a series, so every day I'm like, I gotta finish that. I gotta hear the next section. His pastor's name is Philip DeCourcy, and he was great. So that God really blessed me in that time before going to work to get in that car, get my butt in there at 5:30 so I can get going and with my cup of coffee and Jesus on the way to work. I haven't hit that yet in Standish. Almost. So this next slide, let's see here. That is, you can tell, that's my camp chair. That is a spot that is in Center Ossipee, one of the campgrounds I like to go to. That was a few years ago. I love to take shots of breakfast out with the sun or on the lake. But anyway, that's a little area in Center Ossipee, a campground I grew up going to. And that's my still waters. That's my still waters where he restores my soul. I have been blessed to come to the realization that sometimes we need to walk away from life for a weekend. We know Scott does that frequently, gets up, goes away. And we need to do that often to touch base with God and to make sure we have that still waters with him. And I realize that that's more important than worrying about other things. Can I financially do it? Can I spend the time to do it? I have other things that need to get done. And he has blessed me every time that I have stepped away and just said, I need to be with you for a weekend. I need to get away and rejuvenate myself. So he makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. So this next one, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Righteousness, it's hard to call ourselves righteous. It's very hard to think that we are righteous, but we are God's children. We are a part of his kingdom, and we are righteous in his sight. We are pure. And I feel like he's restored my righteousness, but in myself, I've always been righteous to him. But I have, there's a good shot. I love to take pictures of my devotions, and that's at that campfire. Those are Mom, Pa, Kettle, and my brother. Somehow, we stood that way, and it just goes right up. I know. I don't like, what were we thinking? But anyway, those are my parents and my brother Marcus. He got all the height, but that's all right. I got other things. he's a gem. In this time that he guided me in paths of righteousness through this whole walk of my Psalms 23, I got back to being closer with him, and that also helped me reconcile with my parents. I was unable to be in contact with my parents for 8 years due to my marriage. So that was a few years ago, five years ago or so, that I went out there and I was able to reconcile with my parents. And I have the relationship that I had, like, I didn't even leave. And I believe that's how it is with church family and with Christian family, our brothers and sisters. We can be gone for a while and we can have hardships, but when we reconcile and we know that we have the love of God in the two parties and both of us, that we can reconnect and we can be as if nothing ever happened. And I'm thankful for my parents' relationship with the Lord, and I'm thankful for their forgiveness and their acceptance, and you guys have met them. It's hard not to love them. Hopefully my brother, I never was away from him. I always kept a relationship with, I was able to keep a relationship with him. And just pray for him. He doesn't have a relationship with Christ. He grew up in the same house as I did. It's not for him right now. So hopefully, his daughter is 14, and she has this love for God. So I'm praying through her and my relationship that we can get a hold of him and his wife. But anyway, I was blessed through that. And he led me into a Christian counselor. He's led me to this church. I've had a few church families in the last 6 years. So the last three, I've been with you guys since COVID. So thank you, COVID. You guys were outside, so that was great. And through my job working at Christian Child Care Center, so he has really, really led me in the path of righteousness in getting me back on track and growing closer to him. And now I'm sharing with you guys, and I'm able to serve here. And I think that's part of me, him leading me back into righteousness with him. And so the last, let's see here, the last, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I found this picture and I thought that was great. That does not look like a place I want to hike. It's dark. There's that skinny little path through there. And just like the green pastures, everybody's valley is different. Everybody has a different relationship with God. Everybody has a different struggle or struggles. And it says, I will fear no evil. Well, that's easier read and said than done. I don't know about you, but evil's all around us every single day. And when you're in the valley, you do not want to run into it. And that tends to be where Satan likes to hit us, is when we're vulnerable. The valleys, I'm sure, that I've walked through, you guys all have had fear, isolation, anxiety, and all those cause other issues, you know, health issues, things like that. I have to say, very weak around sweets. That is my downfall. Baked goods, candy, things like that. It's all pretty good whenever. But that's one of my weaknesses. Then I feel crappy. Any of those things come along, and it's pretty handy to go buy and have and store and keep and just keep at it. So the results of that, of course, is, you know, other things. But it says not to fear the evil. So, you know, we can be afraid of the evil that's happening and the evil that comes along and the attacks that we get, but we can't be afraid. He's got it. Right now, he's feeding me where I'm at, and he's leading me in a path, and he's got the plan for ahead, and that's why it says that we shouldn't fear evil. He's got the map. Why am I fearing what's in front of me when he knows what's going to happen, and he's already got it planned out? So that's why it says, don't fear the evil. He's got us today. Don't worry about it. There is something, the rod and the staff. That thing on the left is a rod. And it says it's relatively short, heavy, club-like device. And on the right is a staff, which is longer and thinner with a hook or a crook at one end. Now, that says that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is for poking and prying, you know, poking a sheep when they've gone astray. The staff, let me see, I've got a little thing here that Tom found for me. I've got it. That describes this here. So, in biblical times, a shepherd consistently used both a rod and a staff to tend the flock. Both were used to protect the sheep, each in every in very specific ways. The rod was used to fight off wild animals and to count the sheep and direct them. The rod prodded them during the day in fields. A willing sheep would respond to the prodding, but a stubborn, strong-willed sheep, of course, would not. Yes, some of us are stubborn. And so he would just use that little rod and poke them, like, don't go over there. No, yep, don't eat that. You know that's not good for you. You know that's just going to add to you. Don't do that. Don't be gossiping. Just prodding us. And we know he prods us because we know when we're doing it or thinking it, he's in there because we have Christ, our Savior, in us. And that's his job, is to guide us. The staff The staff was used to more strongly exert his authority and to gently but firmly pull the sheep back to the fold and keep the sheep moving in the right direction, or to pull them from harm. So you got that little hook there and just, yep, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you're not listening, get over here. So the rod and staff that are, you know, what is your rod and your staff, or the rod and staff that God uses with you? What does he use to poke and prod you? What does he use to pull you back in? It could be people, it could be his word, it could be situations that happen that pull you back in and say, no, you're not going that way, you can't go that way, you shouldn't go that way. So I challenge you today, is this your banquet? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I'm missing a slide. I'm missing a couple slides. Because that was not it. Do you see any other slides there? I should have a couple more. It's food on a table. Aw, we're left with that. Sorry, that's your banquet. Cheese and crackers. Good old Ritz. Wow, that wasn't the plan, but that's all right. So he promises to make us a banquet before our enemies. And yes, we are going to have a huge banquet when we get up to heaven. He has that all prepared. It says it's prepared. It's already ready. And it was ready before we were even born because he chose us and he knew what our decision was going to make. He knew that we were going to be part of his family. So he prepares a banquet before us in the presence of my enemies, and I honestly believe I have a banquet now. He has blessed me with many things, and there are a lot of people that, well, I shouldn't say a lot of people, that's not right, Heidi. There are a few people that that I have that are friends with me that aren't Christians, but they see my life. And they see the blessings, and they see what God has given me and what he's been doing in my life. And that, to me, is a banquet. It's a banquet of everything that he gives me, the blessings that he has given me thus far. And then the last, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And it was a picture of a sunrise. And frequently, just recently, too, I don't know how many of you are up at the crack before dawn. There's the crack of dawn, and there's the crack before dawn. So I'm up the crack before dawn, so I get to see the sunrise, and I get to see the sunset now, too, on the way home from work. But that right there, that is the goodness and love that follows me. It follows me. It says it follows me. Have you ever had anybody follow you? Anybody that's got kids, you're not going to lose them. They're right behind you, or a dog, or a cat, and they follow you. So just think of that. He follows me. He's guiding me, but he's following me. And he's following me and blessing me with his love and his goodness and his mercy and his grace. It follows me. It's just amazing when we think of that, that he's always guiding me and he's always giving me that love and grace and mercy. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And I can't wait because it doesn't look like this world is getting any better. It doesn't, and we know that, though. We know that it has to come that far in order for Christ to come back. When the last one accepts, he will come back. So I want to challenge you to look at your Psalm 23 this week. Look and just go through and see where your shepherd has led you. And that will help you follow where he's leading you just for today. Just for today. We don't know what tomorrow or next week or this afternoon looks like. But I need to eat and follow for today. So I'm going to pray in closing. And Ed is going to come up. And he's got one more hymn to sing with the organ. But I'll close us in prayer. And then after that, I will come back up and just do a few announcements. Okay? All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this church family, and I thank you for this beautiful day out there. Lord, I thank you for being in a place where we can come and worship at any time and that we can read our Bible anywhere. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here that they, this week, accept my challenge of looking through Psalm 23 and looking at the Psalm 23 that they've had, and may that give them encouragement to the green pastures and the valleys and the banquet table, Lord, that you have planned out for their life. And I pray that they also look at all the blessings, because at times we have to pull those things out during the valley to remind us what you've done and what you will do. I thank you for this time together, Lord. Please be with us this week. May we be a light unto others, and may we be salt to where we are. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.